So our next guest may regret this, but you might use a nautical metaphor to describe the job that Kenneth Feinberg, the administrator of the Gulf Coast Claims Facility, will be compensating the victims of the BP oil disaster, describing the job he's about to take. He's swimming out or sailing out into some pretty rough waters. Listen to this.
Well, I've talked to 16 different agents, and I got a list of every one of them that I've talked to down there. They keep shuffling the paper around, and we can't even get a reply within 24 hours.
It's thousands of pages, and each month we have to update it with hundreds of pages of additional data.
Who can we go to get the answers? That's what I would like to know.
And they have given us token amounts of money, but it's never going to take care of what they've lost us.
Those are guests on The Takeaway and voices over the summer who have told us how frustrating the claims process has been so far in trying to get compensated from BP. Kenneth Feinberg, administrator of the Gulf Coast Claims Facility, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going to deal with that frustration, and how much of it have you already felt?
Oh, I think we'll deal with it. I think I've felt it. Beginning August 23rd, just less than 2 weeks away, BP is out of the claims business. And the Gulf Coast Claims Facility will be listening to those complaints, hopefully responding much quicker with much more certainty and getting checks out faster.
Can we try to get a range of what would constitute a pretty short conversation with you and what would constitute a longer conversation about the nature of compensation? For instance, I suspect if I had a fishing boat that was docked over the last several months, that's a relatively short conversation as far as compensation is concerned, right?
That's correct. You've been directly impacted by the spill. You can't fish. You've suffered economic harm. Demonstrate that harm and get a check.
What if I'm a temporary worker who works for an agency that deploys, say, cleaning ladies and domestic help to hotels far inland to the Gulf, who suddenly doesn't get any calls, and they assume that it's because the hotels aren't asking for work anymore, but they don't really have the capacity to prove that. Is that a longer conversation with you?
No, not on the facts you just gave. On the facts you just gave, the cleaning worker is, quote, far inland, unquote, quote, can't prove her claim, unquote. That's a very short conversation. There's no compensation that can be rendered in that case.
No compensation.
How can it be? You've just said you can't prove the claim, and it's a temporary worker with no documentary or other evidence of loss, and the worker is working, quote, far inland, unquote. I don't think that's a very long conversation.
All right. Well, what if the person who normally hires them would say, look, we've had all kinds of downturns in our business because of this oil spill, and we're really not taking people on anymore. Sorry, we won't be calling you for the next month. But that's really all you've heard. Can I go to you for that?
No. No. Well, you can come to me. But again, on the facts that you have just raised, you can't document that the claim is attributable to the spill. And, I mean, we can think up some hypothetical fact patterns that are a lot more difficult and will result in a longer conversation, but those aren't examples that would keep me up at night.
What if I'm a manager at a 7-Eleven who has seen the traffic decline and it coincides with, the Deepwater Horizon catastrophe? How do I come to you with a suspicion that my business has really been affected here?
Where is your business?
My business is in Grand Isle.
Oh, I think you ought to come and see me then. I think that if you're a 7-Eleven on Grand Isle, which is close to proximity to the spill, and your business is down, and it appears at least you're close to the spill and people aren't coming, tourists are no longer coming into 7-Eleven to buy a loaf of bread, yes, I would want to talk with you. That is a longer conversation.
All right, so then if I'm living in Grand Isle right now, I just heard Ken Feinberg say, hey, if I'm in Grand Isle, I can concoct some sort of an excuse for why I'm doing miserably and go in and get some money from him.
Well, now you've added facts about concoct some excuse. I mean, this is a challenge, you see. This is a challenge. You have given me four different examples of hypotheticals. I have to look at each claim, evaluate the claim in terms of eligibility, determine whether the claim can even be proven, and then make a call as to whether somebody should be compensated and how much they should be compensated for their loss.
although it sounded like you said a 7-Eleven manager far inland has a downturn, a 7-Eleven manager in Grand Isle has a downturn. It's sort of open and shut with the Grand Isle guy, not so much for the inland.
I'm not, you know, you can put your gloss on it. Proximity to the Gulf is going to be very, very important. And somebody with a business, you know, far inland, unquote, is going to have a much more difficult claim than somebody right at Grand Isle on the beach who's claiming a loss due to the fact that because of the spill, there's a perception that people shouldn't be swimming, fishing, or shrimping in that area.
You know, what I love about this conversation is that you're really conveying that however difficult this is and whether you succeed or not, they really did get the right guy for this job here. How do you unpack the interlocking relationships between various economies in the Gulf to really sort out the compensation formula? Because that really is your challenge here. Some people are obvious, some not so.
You do it two ways, generally. First, if an individual inland on the beach, Grand Isle, Pensacola, wherever, what would that individual have secured in the way of compensation if they had brought a lawsuit, either under the Federal Pollution Control Act, federal law, or state law in Louisiana or Florida? That's first. I mean, if you're going to come into this fund, it's purely voluntary. Nobody has to seek compensation from this new facility. If you voluntarily come into the fund, I suspect I'll be much more generous in recognizing an eligible claim than if somebody filed a lawsuit, waited 5 years to get, hopefully, compensation, only to find out that they weren't able to get compensation under federal or state law. Now, everybody will have to make that judgment on their own, but that's generally the way I start this. The second thing I look at, proximity to the Gulf, what industry are you in? Like you said at the outset, fishermen, shrimpers, oyster harvesters, seafood charter boats have a lot easier claim than somebody who runs a golf course or a 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. And how dependent are you on the natural resources of the Gulf? Those are some of the variables I'll be looking at.
Is it fair to say that part of what you're doing is literally compensating people, but also providing a process that accelerates the process of getting beyond this disaster?
Absolutely. I think this facility should be set up in a manner that will allow people to get compensated and move on as best they can. I've learned from experience getting some type of closure as the news continues to improve concerning the absence of lasting damage to the Gulf is very, very important.
Ken Feinberg, have a great weekend up there on Martha's Vineyard. Ken Feinberg is the administrator of the Gulf Coast Claims Facility, getting ready to actually hand out checks on the 23rd of August.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.